Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome, and this is a special show because I'm actually dedicating this show to the legislators who are fighting for your Constitution and running in the state elections. When I say legislators, we're talking state legislators, not those who are going into the D.C. swamp. But this is a very special show because I'm going to be very centric on why it is so important that we support these very specific legislators in these dark red states. And I'll get into all of that, but I need to let you know that the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. With that, both of those sites, MobiusStripPress.com and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can get a plethora of content and information that will help you understand what Republic Review is, auditing the Constitution, why we need to do this, and actually, hopefully, today's show will help you understand this. You are listening to the only show on air anywhere that asserts a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. If you want to refute that, you can always call. It's 215-867-8255, or that's 215-TOP-TALK, for those who can't remember the numbers. 215-TOP-TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K. And so I also want to thank those. I'm going to thank you again because I can't give you enough thanks for those who contributed to Chad Christensen's campaign. I did contact him. He was getting contributions from you, and he was able to spend that money this over the weekend on some, you know, a last surge of advertising. Hopefully that will get him across the line. I am hoping and praying that we can do this. As I've said before, this show is dedicated in supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. This means that they are willing to commit to protect all of us from federal tyranny, because once somebody stands up against federal tyranny, then that umbrella will cover all of us, because we're all being impacted. And in the process that these legislators are going to do this, this will be all-encompassing. And so, as I said at the very beginning, you know, that this show is the only show, but that is one, that's only one reason why you want to download the podcast, because this show is the only constitutional solution-based show on the air that you can listen to. So there's the first reason. Second reason is that the content on this show actually interlocks and weaves with a lot of the other content that I talk about, whether it's Platonism, which is another word for communism, or whether it is the details of Republic Review, what have you. I do a lot of weaving. There's no way I can just cover all the content in one particular show. And I try not to be redundant. And so that's why you need to listen to the shows to kind of stitch everything together to garner what I am talking about. The third reason is that the content that I do talk about is not temporary. This stuff will surpass the test of time, because the things that I read are literally citations and documents from the framers, and those things themselves still stand the test of time because they are still relevant today. And I hope and pray that the Constitution is still relevant 100 years, 500 years down the road. And I will tell you, if we can invoke an audit of the Constitution, or better yet, an audit on the federal government using the Constitution as the measuring stick, if we can do that, this republic will withstand that test of time for the next 500, even 1,000 years, because we'll finally get our heads out of the sand and finally engage the federal government in holding them to the contract that they were delegated very specific and defined powers. So there you go, the reason why you want to download the podcast. And sorry that takes so long, but I think it's really important that you understand, because if I can't convince you to download these podcasts and getting these listened to and understanding the content, then, you know, chances are you won't do it. But 9 times out of 10, if reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree, it's the premise that I have. And I believe that if I can make a reasonable appeal and I can kind of stitch it in a way that it actually makes sense to you, then I honestly think that you'll agree with me that the content in these podcasts are paramount. They're of the utmost importance of listening to and understanding and so forth. I also want to point out that I have a video link on my Take Action page on Reclaiming the Republic. If you watch that video, I actually go through, it's a 30-minute presentation that is like a little fire hose of Republic Review, how we got in this mess, what we need to do to fix it. And so by all means, share that. Have friends over and watch it. If you've watched that, the only people that don't like that are people that are either hung up on a myopic issue, and I've got those. As a matter of fact, I think on the page there's somebody that was really hung up on the U.S. corporations and the unconstitutional corporations. Well, if you got a problem with the corporations, you got a problem with any unconstitutional government, then what we have to do is we have to audit the Constitution to get rid of those corporations and get the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. That's the only process. So anyway... And then there are those that are going to be progressive that are going to hate this because reality is this is going to dismantle their welfare state and all of their evil things that they've been doing. I will also say that I need your support. It's not about money. And as a matter of fact, when we get into the end throes of the primaries, and I'm still waiting for somebody to step up in South Dakota and North Dakota to say, you know what, I believe the Constitution is precious. I believe we need to do this. There's no doubt in my mind what GR has articulated makes sense. There's nobody that's been able to refute this. I've even gone toe-to-toe with constitutional professors. Not one can tell me this is unconstitutional, and most of them don't like it, and you're going to hear these in my promos. The reason being is because it'll take away their funding from the federal trough. In other words, they're really afraid of Republic Review because it'll actually work. They would rather see the Article 5 convention happen because they know it won't fix the problems. And so that's why they would rather, at least the doctor that I talked to, he would rather see that than a Republic Review, because the reality is he does not want to lose that trough or that money coming in. Well, as I scanned through all of the news before this show, and I do it every day, I make sure that there's nothing happening in Mordor on the Potomac, which is D.C., and I will tell you that there is still no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, which means it leaves it up to us to deal with this. Now, I have a standing question. If anybody wants to call me and tell me where or what in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage lands for reservations, whether that be for birds, whether that be for plants, whether that be for people, it doesn't matter. Where in the Constitution does the federal government be given the authority to take states' property and create reservations for any and all purposes that they are using them for today? And with that question, if you want to call in, by all means, it's again 215-TOP-TALK or 867-8255. The Red Pill Expo coming up the 21st and 23rd, I believe they still have a few DVD albums left if you want to be a part of a very big conservative movement. I think this Red Pill Expo is not necessarily a competitor, because I think their focus with G. Edward Griffin is more of a global movement of liberty, not just a political movement. And so it's very similar to like CPAC. It's a 3-day event. And I think if you go to redpillexpo.org, you can get all the details and kind of understand what their mission is and what they're trying to do. And if you do that, I think they'd be highly motivated to get engaged and probably attend. I did want to go back on the McCain's. I know I've kind of been poking him in the eye, and I have no reservations. I know the man, you know, we all come up with points and hardships and so forth, and life doesn't last forever. I get all of that. But the fact of the matter is, I understand that they're waiting for apologies, but understanding the magnitude of what Senator McCain has put into his bills over the course of his career, from McCain-Feingold to the Defense Appropriations Act of 2012, I think the McCains, John McCain specifically, owes the Republican Party an apology. And I think the good people of Arizona deserve an apology from him. And anybody that loves the Constitution today that looks at what he has done and how he's undermined our Constitution, I believe he owes all of us an apology. And so there you go. I think that we all deserve apologies. He deserves an apology for somebody being insensitive. And I think for what he has done in his profession and career as a senator, he owes all of us an apology. And so I won't rant any more on that. This is why protecting one's brand is critical, and the Republican Party needs to get very proactive in protecting this brand. It can no longer accept rogue socialists in a party that stands for it, and this party should be standing for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So there's no room here for us to be accepting somebody that's going to be stepping on that and taking those things away with legislation and unconstitutional usurpations of our power. I'm at a heartbreak, and I will be right back after a word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned, and we're going to get into state legislators and their important role in saving our Constitution. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process,
process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so where was I? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I think I was ranting a little bit. And so that ranting was about the importance of protecting our brand and keeping rogue socialists out of the party ranks. And there's got to be done. We got to do better vetting. And as a matter of fact, I believe we need to start taking the corporate model. I believe that we, the party at the local level for everybody. So like for state senators, like in McCain's case, I think that the chairs of every county should sit down and actually speak to how they expect these senators to be representing them and sending them their expectations at the very beginning of their election. So right after they get elected in this coming November, every single state county chair should be sending a letter to every single one of their representatives to say, you're taking an oath that you're swearing to support and defend the Constitution. Look at your state, because all states have a little bit of a different spin on it. But they all swear at a minimum to support the Constitution. And as such, you have expectations that they're going to do something very specific in that process. And so I think it is paramount that we start putting that shot across the bow at the very beginning, letting them know we want them to provide us details, because these are the goals that we have for them. And we've got expectations. And if they don't meet them, then we're going to be preparing to get somebody to replace them. Somebody that will take their oath seriously and somebody that will talk about the Constitution, supporting the Constitution. And actually, I'm going to go through the six actionable things that I am asking for state legislators to do, those who are willing to sign this commitment, because this isn't about taking money from, you know, one pet peeve to another pet peeve. This is literally saving the federal government from spending us into oblivion and getting them back into the framework. And so state legislators have this responsibility and they have this power. But before we do, I've got one little more tangent or rat hole I want to go down. Kamala Harris last week was questioning Haspel for becoming the director of the CIA on morality. And if you've listened to that and you heard her, how condescending she was on morality. If I would have been Haspel, I would have came back. She says, this is a yes or no question. Do you believe it is immoral to do those kinds of things for interrogation? I would have said, yes, I believe that it is immoral for somebody to legislate and protect themselves from the types of laws and legislation that they put upon their electorate. I believe it's immoral for them to legislate laws that would actually harm innocent babies and provide for, at the expense of others, access to programs that are a detriment to the nucleus of our society. I believe those things are immoral, as well as the immoral treatment of somebody for interrogations. However, when we have something that comes to us as the law, and if you pass a law that is unconstitutional, then I will have my reservations and resign, because that's what I would do if somebody came along and gave me a law that was unconstitutional, something that was in direct conflict with the Constitution, which there are lots of them, folks. There are lots of them. Then I would basically say, if you asked me to enforce that, I would resign this position, because bottom line, I have to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution, not to support a party, not to support an individual. My responsibility is to the Constitution of the United States. Do you understand that, Kamala Harris? And there you go. I mean, the audacity and arrogance that some of these lawmakers have is just overwhelming. But again, that's DC, and we can't fix DC from DC. We have to get the states to fix DC. That is why I was directly engaged in the Idaho primary. I'm directly trying to engage these legislators in the Dakotas. I'm trying to reach out to Kansas next, Utah, and then Wyoming. But here we go. I actually got Chad Christensen, and he is the one that's actually signed the commitment to do these actionable things, and I'll get into those in just a second. But he did receive your contribution, so I want to thank you very much for those of you who sent a little bit of love to him and getting him to be able to do a surge in advertisement and so forth. It was very critical. It was something that put, you know, a little gas in his tank, and I hope it was enough to get him across the finish line. I know he came, you know, into this a little bit late, because had he signed that, I would have been on this a lot sooner. And I do not believe in quid pro quo. I do not believe in trying to dangle the shiny object and getting somebody to succumb and tempting them. The whole point is for them to recognize that they have an opportunity to lead. If they're true leaders, then they will see this and they will jump on this. Most of them are just more fixated on being able to get into the position of power. And there are some that may be just too busy, that they have not able to, triage or the analysis of what is best, or their opportunity costs. There you go. Discerning which opportunity costs have the greatest bang for their buck. And so I did reach out to a lot of candidates, and a lot of the entrenched incumbents won't even sign a pledge or a commitment to supporting the Constitution. And in Idaho, I think that's pathetic. I think it's sad, but I think it's great. And that's why we need to get Chad onto that floor so that he can actually engage in fighting his fellow legislators in getting them to do their job. And so what is exactly their job? And so let me get into exactly what Madison said in the, it's the Virginia resolutions. And this is what Madison said when the federal government chose to violate the Constitution. I got about 2 minutes to get through this. That this assembly doth explicitly and peremptorily declare that it views the powers of the federal government as resulting from this compact, to which the states are parties, as limited by the plain sense and intention of the instrument constituting the compact, as no further valid that they are authorized by the grants enumerated in the compact, and that in case of the deliberate, palpable, and dangerous exercise of other powers not granted by the said compact — he's using the word compact, it's just another word for contract, folks — the states who are parties thereto have the right and are duty bound to interpose for arresting the progress of the evil and for maintaining within the respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them. That is why we absolutely have to have state legislators who understand that what the federal government is doing is they're stealing our liberties, or they're stealing our sovereignty, and they're giving us money with strings attached. If we get rid of them, then that means that every state no longer, they're confining themselves at their own accord. This is just like Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings, when he goes into King Rohan, and Rohan is under this spell, believing that he has no powers, believing that he can't do anything, that he's dying. Gandalf breaks the spell by whacking him on the head with his staff and basically says, "Wake up, you old fool." And that's when King Rohan, the spell gets broken from Wormtongue, and he realizes that he does have a kingdom. He has this authority. He is the sovereign. And he stands up and fights. This is what the states have. The states have been lured into believing that they are subjected to the federal government at every whim they want. And everything you hear on this program will tell you otherwise, that the states have all powers of anything and everything that was not specifically delegated to them. That's why you need to listen to my episode when I talk about Madison's vetoing of the bonus bill. I go through these Virginia and Kentucky resolutions as well. If you read through or listen to these podcasts, then you will garner exactly what I am talking about. I will also tell you that the Federalist Papers are critical in just giving you really high-level snidbits of the limitations of the federal government. And I'll get into those as soon as we get back, because this is really important. And we're going into the primary tomorrow. And so I'm going to be asking that everybody pray that we can get Chad Christensen across this line and into office. So please bear with me. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Man, so let me be to the point, because I'll go down to my final comments. Or actually, these aren't my final comments. These are in the 85th article of the Federalist Papers. Hamilton basically wrote this. It was one of the last articles that was written. And he basically made it very clear what had to happen. And this basically explains precisely why we're in the mess that we're in. We may safely really quote, "We may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislators to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority." I'm telling you, my friends, as I go on a little tangent here, that barrier is not the Article 5 convention process. That is strictly a process that is to fix deficiencies of the contract. The Article 5 process, whether that be going down the congressional path or the state's path, doesn't matter. That whole process is to fix deficiencies. It is not to fix encroachments. It is not the barrier to these encroachments. So I will repeat, we may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislators to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. If the foregoing argument is a fallacy, certain it is that I myself am deceived for it, for in my conception, one of those rare instances in which a political trust or truth can be brought to a test of mathematical demonstration. Now, he uses a lot of hyperbole at the very end there, but bottom line, what he was saying is that the federal government was only to get delegated certain powers, and the only way that they were going to stay within that framework, because the anti-federalists knew that it is just the nature of politics and politicians to usurp and try to take and assume powers. So why would he say this other than the fact that the states have all the authority to keep the federal government out, but they have failed to exercise that authority? Madison clearly said in Federalist Paper number 46, "Were it admitted, however, that the federal government may feel an equal disposition with the state governments to extend its power beyond the due limits, the latter, which is the states, would still have the advantage and means of defeating such encroachments." So how is it that we got into this position? Because it's pretty simple. When the states ratified the Constitution, they basically had to create a federal government. So who went to fill those seats in Congress? Who went to fill those seats in the Treasury? Who went to fill those seats in the State Department and the General Accounting Office and so forth? The best and the brightest were sent to D.C. And so that is why we had such great noblemen and statesmen like Jefferson as the Secretary of State, Hamilton, the Secretary of Treasury, Madison, Sherman. I mean, there were all sorts of good political noble leaders that went into the general government. A lot of them really didn't understand what they were walking into because they weren't really that aware of the intricacies of the Constitution, and some of them weren't even participants at the ratification debates because some of those people were still entrenched in state politics. But bottom line, the best and the brightest went up to D.C., and the states, there's one of two things that were at play here. Either the states were too intimidated by how good and noble these men were, like Madison and so forth, to think that, oh, well, we're going to instantly start creating barriers and make them think we don't trust them. So maybe they went down that path. Or maybe they just lost sight of the importance of creating those barriers because it didn't come across their lips, or maybe they were just too busy with the issues at hand. You got to understand that back in those days, this was a part-time job. They were not professional politicians per se. They were either lawyers, most of them were farmers, and most of them were either, I don't want to say clergy, but almost all of them had some form of theological studies because that's what school was teaching in those days. And I know Madison had a, if not a minor, a major in theological studies. He did not have a JD. He ended up getting an honorary JD from, I believe it was Princeton, where he went to school. So Anyway, Madison also says, but the ambitious encroachments of the federal government on the authority of the state governments would not excite the opposition of a single state or of a few states. They would be signals of general alarm. Every government would espouse the common cause. A correspondence would be opened. Plans of resistance would be concerted. One spirit would animate and conduct the whole. This is in Federalist 46 as well. I mean, clearly he's saying that there's just no way these states are going to stand by and let this happen. And look, folks, it's happened. We have all sorts of unconstitutional usurpations of states' powers, from the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Justice. Yes, the Department of Justice. Let me jump down to exactly what Thomas Jefferson said in the Kentucky-Virginia resolutions. And this is the Kentucky resolutions in 1798. And he says, resolved. This is from the state legislators with Thomas Jefferson. Resolved that the Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States, piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and offenses against the law of nations, and no other crime whatsoever. And it being true as a general principle, and one of the amendments of the Constitution having also declared that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. In other words, the federal government has no jurisdiction in any of the laws that it's creating and that it's enforcing. We are, as long as we continue to allow them, we are surrendering our liberties. But just like King Rohan, the states have the authority to stop this. And the states have the ability to literally rise up and literally shut this down. And that process is by auditing. And that process is very clear. If you look at what he did, what he was saying right there in identifying that the crimes that the federal government was delegated in punishing, that was, in essence, an auditing of what the powers the federal government had within the Constitution. So the very first thing that Jefferson and Madison did was they audited the Constitution to go, okay, well, what is it that they can do? Okay, that's all they can do? Well, what they're asking to do is clearly outside those boundaries. And so that's where they basically shut them down and said, you do not have these powers to do these things. These things are reserved to the states respectively and to the people. And so with that, they went after the federal government, and the way they tried to do that was not through a convention of states. They didn't try to do this through educating people. What they tried to do in the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions was they tried to appeal to their other state legislators to join them. That is why those resolutions went out to every other state in the Union. And sadly, at that point in time, they were so polarized between the Federalists and the Republicans at that point, because this was the point when the Republican Party was created. And Madison created the Republican Party. Thomas Jefferson added a little adjective in the front, the Democratic Republican Party. The Democrats try to claim that the Republican Party was created by Madison and Jefferson, and that's an outright lie. Because in Jefferson's inaugural address, he did not say, we're all Democrats or we're all Democratic Republicans. He said, we're all Republicans and we're all Federalists. And that's a fact. Bottom line is that the Democratic front end of the Republican Party was strictly an adjective to help, you know, add a little emphasis that it was a Republican Party that believed in a democratic process, not Democrats, as what Andrew Jackson and what was that guy's name? Martin Van Buren, the president after Andrew Jackson. Martin Van Buren actually created the party like Madison did, and Jackson was the first president of that party. There being, we have a creation of the Democratic Party in the 1820s, not in the 1790s. That was the first Republican Party. Anyway, to getting back on to how important this coming election is tomorrow, I know that we can't, it'd be great to send more money to Chad and try to get him further across that line. But what we need to do is we need to kind of, you know, focus our prayers and fasting maybe tonight and tomorrow in helping persuade the electorate in the 32nd district to vote for Chad. But I will talk more about that when we get back from the break. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. How much more important is it that we have a state legislator, whether that's just one in those chambers or whether that's quite a few? We have to have at least one to stand up and poke all of these other state legislators in the eye and let them know that they're violating their oath of office. I had a conversation with a constitutionalist that wanted to grant immunity to their Republican incumbent because they don't support Republic Review doesn't mean that they're not honoring their oath. Okay, I understand that you may not have a good grasp on what Republic Review is, but I'm not going to give you a pass on basically condoning constitutional violations. Bottom line, everyone that puts their arm to the square, every state legislator who has the authority of oversight over the Constitution in accordance with what Madison and Jefferson and the rest of the framers stated, that the state legislators actually are the ones that are responsible and duty bound. That's Madison's words, not mine. So every single state legislator that allows federal dollars, federal programs, and federal overreach and encroachments into their state, whether it be national parks, whether it be forestry, whether it be environmental, it's unconstitutional. And every state legislator has to stand up and say, get out of here. You have no authority in the Constitution for doing these things. Therefore, you don't have to necessarily just sign on the dotted line that you're going to commit. But if you're not doing those things, then and you're not standing up against them, then you can't add 2 + 2 and make it 500. And that's what you're doing, is saying that your state legislator is honoring their oath of office by not saying anything and by not doing everything they possibly can to getting the federal encroachments in their state, specifically in Idaho. And I can swing the bat at several state legislators in Idaho that are incumbents that are probably a shoe-in, that don't deserve to be incumbents and don't deserve to be state legislators because they fail to do that very specific thing. They may make their constituents feel good that they're conservative and they give the dialogue, but all the time the states are losing their sovereignty and authority, and they don't have to. The states are literally surrendering this, and these are the incumbents that have been doing this. The swamp extends into the states. And if we're going to save our Constitution, I'm going to tell you that the President and Congress do not have the authority. I'm going to ask you to find somewhere in the Constitution where the federal government has the authority to, on its own, say, oh, oops, we didn't abide by the Constitution. The only way to make an effective cut of federal usurpations is for the state to stand up and say, you cross the line, you have no business doing that, and we demand that you retract, and we demand that you shut that down, and make a statement as such that you violated the contract, because that's what is necessary. Because if not, folks, what ends up happening, and I had a very good conversation with Mr. Ward Connerly regarding getting affirmative action out of state education. And he made a comment that Jeb Bush willingly just shut that down instead of going through the legislative process. And he said he didn't like that. Well, why didn't he like that? It was the same reason why I didn't like that, because the next governor can come along and institute that policy. It requires that the state legislators draw the line and say, we are no longer doing this. You have to pass a law to keep those types of policies and programs from becoming instituted once again. And if Trump got rid of the Department of Education and everybody yelled yay and hooray and danced in the streets, whoever becomes the next president can come right back along and go, you know what, that buffoon had no business doing that. And they're absolutely right. He is supposed to faithfully fulfill the Constitution. And if Trump wants to do that, then what he should be doing is he should be calling out to the states to say, look, I know we're violating the Constitution and you need to do something about it. I want to stop spending this, but you actually have to draw the line in the sand and get us back into that framework. I'm only the president of the Constitution, which means president of the United States, which means that I can only faithfully execute these constitutional laws. So if he, even if he shuts those things down until the states actually force the federal government back into that framework, the federal government will grow on steroids again and again and again until the states stand up and say, nope, sorry, because it's complacency. The states are being complacent in allowing the federal government to constraining them. And anybody that thinks that, oh, well, shoot, if we get rid of the forestry department and we get rid of all these things, the states won't have any money. Or they, because we get money from these stupid programs and we get regulations that keep us and inhibit us from doing things and unleashing our economy. If we get the federal government out, we get that money, that lucre out of the state coffers, then what would happen is it would open up the states to becoming productive and being able to unleash all sorts of economic opportunities that you can't even fathom. I've got a book coming out regarding the Department of Energy, or I should say America's Strategy for Energy. And I will tell you, Wyoming can lead the charge in taking America into not only the next century, but the next millennia plus, based on utilizing existing sources without having to go down the fracking or anything like that. And I'll get into those details. I'm going to be hopefully meeting and working with some Wyoming legislators and candidates and so forth so that we can kind of discuss these things, because it's not necessarily about me actually getting the book out as much as it is about actually changing paradigms and moving forward. And the only reason I don't want to bring those things up on this show is because until I either get it copyrighted so I can protect it, or because, and I want you to understand, if you look at a lot of my stuff, it is copyrighted because I don't want somebody to come along and steal it and then say, hey, we've got the copyrights on this, so you have to shut down. I don't care if somebody wanted to offer me millions of dollars to buy me out. I'm not for sale, and our Constitution and our liberties are not for sale. I know that there are plenty of people in the state legislators. Washington State is full of them, and every state's probably full of them, and that's the whole point of this show, is to make sure that we start emptying out those politicians of compromise who have been selling us downriver, whether that be in the states or in the federal government, and start getting candidates that understand the importance of individual liberty and understand the importance of individual sovereignty, and they work ardently in protecting it and work ardently in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. In doing that, one of the things that has to happen as well as all of the states need to start convening state constitutional conventions, and the process of doing that is getting the county commissioners to petition for a state constitutional convention. What this does, it will bring the counties together, and the county, it'll be basically one vote per county as to what changes are going to be done and made to the state constitution. And that will make the progressive population centers real, because they'll realize that they are going to lose their footing of democracy, and it will force these conversations. And what will end up happening is either they will be willing to split their states like Illinois, Washington, California, and so forth, and let the conservatives go into their own state, or they're going to have to lose their footing and actually watch their socialist agenda just crumble underneath them. Because these rural counties, these red counties that actually make up almost every state in the union, even go to New York and look at the New York map. California, everybody knows that that's a red map, other than the population centers. New York's the same way. New Jersey's a little different. I don't know if you have enough red in New Jersey to change it. There are very few outliers in our republic. We are predominantly a very conservative republic, maybe not population-wise, and that problem has everything to do with our education system. And if you've been listening to the show, it's Platonism, and it is a byproduct of Platonism. I want you to know that tomorrow is a very important day. I will be starting my day with a prayer, and I ask that you do the same. I ask that you pray for those Idahoans in the 32nd District, that they will have the clarity in voting and getting Chad Christensen in to protect their constitutional liberties and their individual sovereignty and individual liberty as well. And I want you to know that I am G.R. Mobley. I am working very hard in reclaiming our republic, and I need your help. I will be back tomorrow because my show is over today. And we will talk more about reclaiming the republic. With your help, we will get this done and make America great once and for all. Thank you so much.